Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go hook him up! I just whipped your ass.
You take it all away.
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. And we have our other co-host on the line, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Not much. Let's get going.
All right. Well, this is our first show of the new year, and I've learned that on both of you guys, so...
Yeah.
Apologize to the audience for no show last week, Craig.
Sorry to the audience for no show last week. But I have nothing to do with it.
It's always your fault. You're always to blame, Craig. Come on now.
Okay. I think that's why I think the thing going last week.
Yeah.
You're not doing the show, so it's my fault.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm always under the... I always like the old adage, or the less is more is my thing. So last week there was less, so there was more.
Cool. Well, I have to call our guest here, so why don't you tell us how your New Year's went, Craig?
New Year's.
I'm sure Katrina didn't do anything.
Low-key New Year. We made plans with some friends and quite a few friends actually, and just basic hanging out over at my place and doing some eating and doing some goofing off, and we don't drink or anything like that, and we're getting old, so anyway, one friend ended up getting sick and the other one had to work, and so there was we had all this food prepared, and we had maybe four people at the house. It was kind of pathetic.
Well, at least you had some leftover.
That's true. But we had a good time nonetheless.
Yes, contrary to what Ed thinks, people, I do have a life. I'm at the age where New Year's come and go. You know,
yes.
Just do the regular, just party, just glad to be here another year. So
the best part was... it was really foggy and the weather was crappy here in Seattle, so they like showed the fireworks going off on the Space Needle, but it was so foggy that by the time the 10 or 15 fireworks went off, you couldn't see the Space Needle anymore.
Okay.
This is such a joke. It's like, oh, there it is on TV. Can't see the Space Needle. Just flashes of light going off in a big haze. It was either that or the fact that they legalized marijuana in Washington. So, one or the other.
Oh, did they legalize marijuana in Washington? I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're where it is going to move up there.
Well, I suggested he move to Colorado because it's not here, because they've also done that there as well.
Hey, great. Could you introduce our guest, please?
I'll be more than happy to do that, Edward. Our guest tonight was called a heartbreaker. He was also called a heartthrob. Now he calls himself the Promise. My question to him is, why has he been cheating on this podcast with Colt Cabana if he's called the Promise? Welcome to the show, Antonio the Promise Thomas.
What's up, proper?
It's
What's
proper,
up,
you're right.
Proper, I'm sorry. I've been cheating on other podcasts. So I'm sorry.
I actually heard that you're planning on lowering yourself to even do Alex Golf podcast.
I've been to Alex's before. No, man, we got we share an affinity for jiu-jitsu, grappling, combat sports. So
there you go.
Yeah.
It's
What's up, guys?
Deal, man.
Friday night, big things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. We don't do too much when we're doing the show. I guess we really don't have too much of a life.
But I'm married, so I don't know what these guys' excuses are.
Well, see, right there, that proves you don't have a life, Craig. You're married, you know.
No, how dare you? I'm out and about more than you jokers are, especially you. Please.
Well,
Ed, are you married?
Am I married? Hell no. Yeah.
No,
have you seen him?
I thought you were married. Yeah, I have. That's going to be my future tag team partner.
Is that right? Well,
and Antonio, right?
We got
to get into this. We got a lot to talk about here. We got to get into this the Vegas thing, and we got to get into this tag team situation. So I'll let you guys. Lead the way.
Well, before we get into our tag team, Riddle Bob's trying to sponge off of you, and he wants to know when the Heart Bobs are going to make their debut.
Yeah, I want to know as well. The Brutal Throbs. Yes.
The Brutal Throbs.
We're already the Brutal Throbs.
That sounds dirty.
It went without saying. But yeah, the Heart Bobs actually debuted,
yeah.
What is it, in 2010. Bob
yeah.
and I teamed up in Ring of Honor.
Okay.
Against Mike Bennett and another really good athlete, great worker named Brandon Locke from up here in New England. And this was before Bob and Mike became regulars up there, and we teamed very well together, and I kind of laid the foundation for the Heart Bobs. So I would love to I don't know if, as far as getting Romeo to go to Vegas, he might need he's very busy. He's a very busy man, and he's married, so. Well, on the other hand, I'm single and
ready
not
to mingle.
Married, obviously. Ready to mingle, yes, like I did in
right.
Vegas this past year.
Attaboy.
So it might be a monetary problem to get Romeo there.
Mm.
But Bob is already planning ahead, and Bob would be more than a suitable replacement.
There's one good thing with you teaming with Bob. Unlike like the Rock and Roll Express or the Fantastics or the Fabulous Ones who had to split the women, you don't have to do that with Bob.
Oh, I wouldn't. Bob doesn't want to do that. Bob is happily married. He's
That's
got
right.
two beautiful kids. You know, Bob always. I get the crumbs, the handoffs that Bob runs away because he's a happily married man, and he just shuns off all requests from rats and whatnot. He just passes them on to me. So, same thing with Romeo. That's why I stayed single. I let my tag team partners get married.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That was pretty smart.
You know,
but,
I'll
go ahead, Craig.
I had a ton of questions about indie wrestling.
Cool.
You're on the indie scene, of course, and the one thing that scares me the most in my life is to be unemployed or not knowing where my next check is coming from. How does an indie worker deal with that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I had a, I laid a good groundwork, and then before I even got into wrestling, I finished college. As I made, no pun intended, I made a promise to my mom that I'd finish college, and once I did that, I could do whatever I wanted to do, and that's, you know, wrestling was always my dream. But now, I mean, fortunately, I have a, I'm a teacher during the day. It's a regular job.
Right.
And I, you know, still do the indies. It's been slow the last month, and I've kind of cut back on some local stuff here. A lot of the Chikara stuff that I was doing has, as you know, they've kind of slowly, I don't know what's going on there, but they've less and less shows, less and less dates. And then
right.
do some still do any New England Championship Wrestling up here in Boston, which NECW.TV, they got a weekly TV show. You can check that out. But you know, I've the last couple months been mostly focusing more on grappling and doing that. So as, if I didn't have a decent job outside of wrestling, it'd be very hard. I mean, it's most guys, as you could probably, you may know by like the Young Bucks or Kevin Steen, I mean, they make a killing off of merchandise. And
sure. Same with Cole.
You know, absolutely, Cole Cabana. I mean, he's the innovator of I mean,
yeah,
there's a,
in the Carney.
There's a Mount Rushmore of advertising and promoting yourself as an independent wrestler. He's the only face you need up there. He's
on the top. Yeah.
So there are, I mean, if you love wrestling and you, you know, I'm not the best self-promoter. I just love to wrestle. I love to, and I've gotten better. I've gotten better at social media stuff and getting, you know, I just got T-shirts made up for the first time this past year. And you know, aside from 8x10s and stuff, I really never had any merchandise. And I've never been a big, I don't have a website. I don't have, I'm really not big on, I don't know. I'm not big on going to shows and hawking stuff. Which is perfectly fine, but I like to. I've always been, as a kid, seeing the mystique of the wrestlers, and you know, seeing them up in the ring and not, you know, next to you and talking and socializing with them. That was always a
right.
big thing for me as a kid, and I like to keep that as well. So,
do you just kind of like feel weird about like selling your merchandise, like you're kind of like asking for money?
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. I mean, if somebody, when you go to different, I mean, if you do the same shows, the same promotions every month, unless you have new merchandise, it's hard to sell and make a good turnaround, you know, every month at the same place. But, I don't mind selling stuff at all. As I just mentioned, it to me, it's the, I want the fans to see me in the ring. And I think,
right.
you know, guys have to make their money. Colt's got to make their money. The Bucks have to go and greet the fans and talk to the fans. But at the same time, because, you know, wrestling's changed, man. People want to, this, you got to change with the times. You got to adapt. You got to, you know, and that's the way it is. Back, you know, 25, 30 years ago, that would have never happened. But things are different. And you got to change with them. So, in a perfect world, yeah, I would love to just have that mystique of, oh, this guy's a professional wrestler. He lives in a big house on the hill. He drives a
right,
you know, a $100,000 car. But it's not the case for every. It's not the case for, you know, most guys unless they're in WWE, and even not a lot there. So,
and they've got to have a hustle. They've got to have something to sell.
Exactly. And, I mean, I when it comes to emailing and making contacts about getting wrestling bookings, I hustle because you got to stay on top of people. You got to stay on top of promoters. Because I love wrestling. I just want to wrestle different places, better people, different people, try out different things. And but as far as the marketing goes, yeah, I'm not a hustler when it comes to that. And maybe I should be. I don't know.
Now, speaking of, like, the kind of, like, the hustling and, like, selling merchandise and, you know, except for, like, the guys like Coco Cabana and a few other ones, the ones that really make more money, to me, it seems like it's the women who do the shows. Like, let's say Kelly shows up or Shelly Martinez or something. And it's understandable why they would make more money. You know, the guys want to take a picture with a pretty girl. I mean, I've seen cheerleader Melissa clean up at an RCW show as far as, like, autographs and pictures. Same thing with Trina Michaels. Now, do some of the guys resent the women because, like, you know, they feel like they're doing more as far as having matches and this and that, and then the women just show up and then they kind of make a little more money?
I don't think that's a problem. That's the first time anyone's ever really brought that up. I've done plenty of conventions with myself and as a tag team where we've been seated next to Velvet Sky, and Jamie's an awesome girl. She used to manage us a lot. You know, man, we go back to 2002 when we all first started.
Wow, I didn't realize they had been around that long.
So there's been plenty of times where we've been at some, you know, probably three or four times we've had her, or we definitely had her a lot of times sitting right next to us. And I don't blame fans. I would want, if I was an 8-year-old or any warm-blooded male, I would want to be in her line and get her autograph and give her a hug rather than us. You know, if there was more females there, maybe it'd be different, you know, situation. But don't worry about that. You just got to do what you have to do to hustle and sell whatever you can.
Can I share a quick story?
Sure.
Okay. When Brian and I and Vinny were wrestling, they would, in the middle of the show, they would take an intermission, of course, and everybody get a chance to go around and sell their gimmicks and whatnot. And they would bring out some of the B-level talent, okay, C or D-level talent, and we'd get in the ring, and they would sell Polaroids for, you know, $5 a pop. I sold one Polaroid in, you know, 2 years, while Brian Alvarez cleaned up from 11- and 12-year-old girls because he looked good in his underpants and you know.
Yeah,
A line of 12-year-old girls. It was amazing.
Well, if you saw that picture on WWE.com, he still looks like he's freaking 12.
Hey,
he looks great.
Yeah, he does. I ain't gonna lie. They wanted a picture with a long-haired freak. They wanted Chico.
What about Vinny's line, Craig? How did Vinny do?
How did Vinny do?
I'm not going to comment on that. Actually, you know what? When he was out there with his gimmick, when he was out there in full gimmick with the shades and the fedora and the gold tracksuit, he had a couple of people.
Isn't the suit made out of velour or something?
It is made out of velour.
It was like, what color was it? Was it purple?
It was gold.
It was gold. Okay.
Yeah, the one I saw was gold. He might have a purple one. I'm not sure, but... Anyway,
he needs to bust that thing out for
right
Vegas.
I don't.
He definitely needs to get that thing out.
He might not fit into it, Antonio.
I don't know. He's so against having this tag match, whether it's the Heart Throbs or the Heart Bobs, and it's like it'll be a night off for him. He's probably afraid he's gonna get. He's not in shape or whatever. It doesn't matter. This isn't going to be Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero, you know? It's going to be fun. It's going to be the way wrestling should be.
Well, this whole Vegas thing is in question because Meltzer kind of put the kibosh on it, and I blame Brian for this because I was keeping Brian.
You know what?
But
I'm thinking Dave might be the scapegoat, and Brian doesn't want to do it.
Hey, man, we could throw hip tosses in the parking lot. We don't need a ring.
Well, one of the things that kind of happened is, like, I said to one of the guys I was at the convention who lives in Vegas and who's gone to that wrestling school, I said to him, I go, hey, go over there, just let him know that someone from the Wrestling Observer is going to call, and, you know, kind of he just gave the idea of what's going on. And I told Brian that a couple times that I was sending Marco down there. And then I get this email, angry email, where he's like, who did you send down there? They're asking on Dave's behalf, and Dave's, like, pissed off and this and that. I was like, I go, Marco, I only told you twice, you know. Ever since then.
Everything runs through them. So it's got to be, you know, man, in a perfect world, it'd be great. It'd be fun. But, you know, it's up to them. I mean, they have the final say. So.
Yeah. I mean,
I totally respect that, you know.
Yeah. Apparently, the guy from Vegas, the guy who runs that promotion in school, he was down to have a private show, that we could do a private show there. We could do a co-show with them. He'd give us talent. Awesome. I mean, you know, I mean, to me, it seemed like everything was going good. But, you know, I guess they just doesn't think it's a good idea to throw a show because, like, a million things could go wrong, but.
Even if it's, you know what, hey, if you can get that ring and if Bob is there and I'm there and we can go and practice and roll around for an hour or two, great. That would be perfect. And if anyone wants to come and watch, they can. We'll give them a Iron Man match. We'll give them a technical match. We'll give them some ha-ha stuff. We'll have our own two-man card.
Oh, maybe we'll
sign waivers. We'll sign whatever waivers they have or whatever, you know. And if there's one person that wants to come and witness that, great.
Maybe we get Lance in there, too, and make it a three-way.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, well, move Bob aside. I want Lance in a single.
I'll get this done. Of course, you gotta probably have to raise money for Lance because I'm sure he's not doing it for free. But you know what? That's
love
gonna
you,
be my
buddy
goal
down there too.
After.
We could move the convention to Calgary and do it at Lance's school. I don't think
Ed can't get into Canada.
I'm not sure they can show in Calgary. Now, speaking of Vegas, weren't you just in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and you got to go, I mistakenly put 170, but it was actually, you went to UFC 168, which would probably be their second highest grossing pay-per-view of all time, and how was the show? How did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it. It was, my first show was back in July for the first Silva Weidman fight, and this is my second, and I couldn't pick two better shows to go to. The atmosphere was crazy. The Brazilians, it was, you know, David mentioned it was like being in Brazil, and it literally was. It wasn't until a fight before the Uriah Hall-Lieben fight. Who was it? Was it Michael Johnson?
He fought the one Brazilian who's real jacked up and big for his
So the guy that's in the big. No.
No?
Oh, man.
I always forget his name.
Okay, I'm not near my computer. I can't. But anyway, it was total. You know, you thought you were in Brazil up until that knockout. And then the Americans were, like, to get a USA chant going was non-existent until then. And then, you know, once the main show, and the place was packed, starting like pretty much second match into the pre-show, into the prelims, and it's just an awesome atmosphere. And Rousey Tate ends up being the main event, but I mean every all five fights on the main card were stoppages or TKOs. So none of them went the distance, but they were all fast and they were all exciting. Definitely a great card, like for a casual fan that, you know, wants to see, you know, quick knockouts, quick submissions. And then with the women's fight, I mean, it was just awesome. I would love to go back in February, but probably not going to be able to make that happen. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, well, the Ronda Misha tape fight was just from the moment Misha's music hit to the end of the fight. I mean, everything about that was just like fucking awesome. And I think Goldberg said that Ronda Rousey has like the best meme face, and goddamn if she doesn't, dude. I mean,
oh, totally. And I mean, she was definitely the heel that night, and kind of going to be the heel going forward. You know, she even said she played the better heel. But it was kind of, I guess it was 50-50 between pretty much the Americans and the non-Brazilians sitting around me and whatnot. The Brazilians were just booing the fuck out of her. They hated her. And so
she's
I think
easy
that's
to
what,
hate.
If the, they hated Rousey.
Yeah, she's easy to hate.
I love her. I want to marry her.
Oh, I know you do. And
well,
and
you ain't lying, buddy, because I'm,
I was,
I'm
hey, her. I was, I felt, I hadn't been this nervous for a match, legit. Probably since I was a kid watching Hulk Hogan, thinking he was, you know, probably not since the Hogan Andre title change on main event. Like I was especially that first round, I was fucking nervous. I was like, that's my girl. She's very polarizing. You either love her or hate her. I mean, she's like the Cowboys, mm-hmm. like the Yankees. And she's it.
It's like she's the John Cena of MMA.
No.
Yeah, she's like
no, I don't know.
When they're going to break out with Let's Go Ronda, and then Ronda's such chance at the UFC show.
She's like LeBron James. I think she's more so like LeBron James because there's really no middle ground with LeBron James. You love him or you hate him, and he's at the top of his game. You know, I guess you could say Cena, but the love-hate with Cena is more of an age thing. And plus, he's been at the top for so long. I think you could look at it either way, but yeah, definitely, she can be easy to hate, but I don't hate her. I don't like Misha Tate. Her face annoys me. She's hot, don't get me wrong, but
she looks evil, dude, in some cases.
She should have never left Team Alpha Male, man. Team Alpha Male has one of the best, they've been producing some of the best fighters the last few years. Saber's career has turned around. They had the winner of, Chris Holdsworth won last season of the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, she left there. Once she left there, I think she's won one fight maybe.
Probably the Judy Kinsey fight.
Yeah, it was, and that was that could have gone either way.
Yeah, she was actually getting her ass kicked. She just got lucky and got the submission, but Kinsey was fucking her up. She did look good against Zangano until the end. She actually was dominating that fight until Zangano kind of went off on her at the end. But you know, she put up a good fight. You know, I mean.
Oh, Ronda absolutely. I totally respect her as a fighter.
Ronda,
absolutely.
Yeah, Ronda was being very cautious in this fight because usually she just goes straight for the armbar no matter what, and she was, like, taking her time and you can just see she was just more of a complete fighter in this fight.
Her stand up was making me really nervous at times because she was leaving her face open.
Yeah.
And I mean, she was just taking her down at will, and it was just, I mean, she dominated her, but that first round she was leaving herself open for some shots, and I was kind of, I knew that if Tate was going to win, it was going to be catching a quick one to the jaw or whatever. I mean, I was great fight. I was nervous.
How sick was her judo, though? Her judo was unreal.
Oh my God! There's the difference between her judo and everybody else's is,
yeah.
I think Dave said that the gap between a woman's judo, you know, Olympic level judo and you know, black belt is far greater than that of the men's competitors. And I agree. Mm-hmm.
I saw some training video where she was doing that to Nick and Nate Diaz.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but let's move on to the main event. Were you watching the Octagon or were you watching the screen? And how did it look like when it happened? And then the replays and stuff.
That's a good question. The whole show, I kind of found myself, because we were seated up higher, and I found myself going back and forth, but I found myself some fights watching more of the, the Rousey Tate, I was watching more of the screen because the action was so nonstop. And then as soon as there was a takedown, I would watch, kind of keep my eye on both, but I did not. I just saw. I was watching the cage when Silva went down, and I didn't know what happened until about three replays in. I thought maybe he tore his knee up, and then all hell broke loose. And then I just saw a couple replays later, saw what happened.
When it first happened, like you see him kick, and then you see him throw himself, and it's too fast to actually catch it. And I knew, he's hurt, but when they showed the replay, it didn't even look real. It looked like he was fucking Plastic Man or something. It looked like it bent too easy. It's like it wrapped around his leg the way it looked like.
Yeah, it was like Joe's eyes and like. Yeah. There was a running back now for the 49ers, but he was at South Carolina last year, Marcus Lattimore. He did something like that. He didn't, where his knee completely just, it was like a complete Joe Theismann. And he's, he's not fully healed yet, but he came back and was running and whatnot. So I think Silva will fight again. I don't think he's going to go out like that. I think if anyone can, he's 38, 39, but I think his body is a lot, I don't know. He doesn't seem like an old 38 or 39.
Yeah, but I mean, that thing looks so bad. I mean, I can't see him wanting to come back because then, to me, one kick and that thing will break again.
Yeah, that's. I don't think it's going to be the physical thing. I think it's going to be the mental thing of getting through that first leg check and, going for those first shin kicks in a fight, not sparring. Even sparring, too, but more so in a fight. I just don't see him going out that way, although he certainly, he has nothing else to prove.
What was the atmosphere like in the arena after that happened?
Oh, it just deflated.
Right.
Once everyone
total
knew
silence.
What happened. I don't really remember how loud it was. Definitely remember how loud it was. The Tate Rousey interviews. But there was some booing, a lot of booing of how it ended, and then you just saw all the Brazilians, once they knew what happened, they just all got up and left. They were like, what, 0 for 5?
Sure, they won. They won one of the prelims.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Even still.
Yeah. And there's nothing better than watching a Brazilian get his ass in front of a Brazilian pro crowd.
Yeah, I got nothing against Brazilians. I love their females. They're gorgeous, but they're just, I don't know. It was just, they're going to kill you and the die chant they have. It's cool. It was like a very soccer-like atmosphere. It was great, but Americans need to step up their game, man. They're way too tame, way too tame.
I remember this one Brazilian girl at, it was an Anderson Shell 2, and I got flashed by this really beautifully hot Brazilian girl, and that was awesome. But yeah, Brazilian girls are awesome, but the guys not so much.
Okay.
Well, by the way, what were you doing in Vegas? Did you just go for the fight, or
I just pretty much went for the fight, and then stayed out there through New Year's, and then got stuck in an airport for 2 days with all the delays and holiday traffic going back. But
oh yeah, you were ranting about like women eating around you or something.
Oh yeah, I was on the way there, I think. Yeah, it was hideous. Flight kept getting pushed back, and I was on standby, and then I just had these horrible, like, I don't know, it was just, I wasn't in the mood to have these fat, overweight ladies scarfing down dog food beside of me. I found it hilarious.
Sometimes people suck.
A lot of people suck, but there's a lot of good people out there, too. Craig, as your son is warming up to the Wyatts, huh?
A little bit. Yeah, we exchanged a couple of tweets. Yes, Antonio had said, I really want to see a video proof of your son freaking out over Bray Wyatt. He's warming up to the fact that Bray is a good promo. I'm teaching my son not to boo or hate the heels. You know, I'm like,
that's
all right, done. Watch him work. Watch him work.
What you're supposed to do, Craig? You're supposed to hate the bad guy. That's how wrestling works.
No,
you
know,
the Austin Aries, he'd yell at you for saying you hit that. How old is your son?
I want to smarten him up. He's 7.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I didn't get smartened up until I was about 11, where I started rooting for like Ric Flair and the Horsemen. But
right. When I say smart enough, I don't mean like clue him in on it, because he still thinks Santa Claus comes around.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, hey, don't hate him. Watch him wrestle. Even Antonio. Cesaro, like, hey,
Cesaro,
watch that guy work. Watch him work. And he's like, hey, not so bad. I said, exactly. So anyway, I said, don't hate on Bray. Just, so the only thing that really freaked him out is like the very end when they do the quick flash and the, that freaked him out.
Oh, yeah.
That would totally freak me out. I remember. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say there was a time where he it was a Saturday morning and he comes in and he taps me on the forehead and I'm waking up and I'm looking at him like, yeah, Daddy, I had a dream about the Wyatts. And I'm like, and my brain's not functioning yet. I'm kind of like trying to process what in the world he's saying. And I'm like, you mean like Bray and I don't like those guys, Dad. So then the next, Monday we're watching Raw and the Wyatt's music hits and he's behind the couch. Just behind the couch peering over. He won't look at it. And I'm like, son, come here and watch this. And now that Daniel Bryan's there, he's not. It's not so bad now. So yeah, he's warming
up.
He's
not as scary.
It's the
other two that are scary looking. Yeah, they're really the only. They're heels, but they're really the only heels. I mean, Orton. They've really diluted there's baby faces, but they've really diluted who is a true heel. Because I know that when I'm teaching, I'll joke with the kids. You know, there's very few wrestling fans, which sucks. But, you know, the kids that are, you know, you can talk wrestling with, John Cena. So I try to come back. You know, I used to come back with CM Punk when CM Punk was a heel. Now there's really nobody that, you know, who do you come back with? Like, who's a heel?
Yeah. They've really blurred the lines to where Miz, you don't know if he's babyface or heel week to week, show to show sometimes.
No.
I
hate him.
and he's an easy one to hate.
I'll say Antonio Cesaro now, but the kids will be like, he does the swing. He's cool. And plus, you know, there's no, like, main event guy. Aside from Orton, there's really a heel. But it's funny you mentioned that, though, about your son. I remember being a little older than that, being like 8, and I used to be scared to death of Kamala. And you would come out with the headdress on. I had to turn away from the TV. Like, I remember having when Kiss would have their makeup on. I had older cousins who used to like to torture me with heavy metal images, and I would freak out. I think I would hide under the bed. I would hide behind the couch, anywhere. I would not look at the TV when Kiss was on there or Kamala.
I think Jake the Snake.
I like Jake the Snake.
Yeah, he really freaked me out because he was so different than everybody else, and he looked so stern, and his evil eyes in the camera, it was just very intense for a young kid.
I did, when he was a heel, I thought that he really wanted to kill the opponent when he put the snake on him.
Right.
I really thought that I'm like, Dad, how can they do that? What if the snake eats him? Or, like, does he want to kill him? He won the match. Why does he need to do this?
Yeah.
The two that used to scare me when I was a kid were the Great Kabuki, because he also had, like, makeup, and he had, like, the green mist. And then there's nothing scarier than a freaking 500-pound Abdullah the Butcher running right in front of you, covered in blood. That's pretty damn scary.
Kabuki was pretty much started in Texas with Gary Hart. So were you living in San Antonio or Texas at the time where you got that local TV?
I actually saw Kabuki first on Georgia.
Because him and Gary Hart would go to Georgia on the weekends.
Yeah, and at this point, I was watching Georgia, and I was watching WWF, and I was watching Southwest, which was the San Antonio promotion. I didn't know about World Class. And then one day, my dad took me to a show, which happened to be World Class, and I didn't really know. I didn't know anybody, and I just remember I got to the concession. I've told the story on the show before. My dad ribbed me and told me to get him a beer. So I was trying to buy my dad a beer at the age of like 12 at the concession stand. And like the whole concession stand, everyone laughing at me. So I just remember I was all sad and crying with my soda going back. And I looked up and I saw a sign that said, "Kerry B. Kabuki." And I just remember I freaked out and spilled my soda and just went running to my dad yelling, "Dad, Kabuki, Kabuki."
That would have been great if they did sell it to you, though.
It was very humiliating. My dad, yeah, that was one of the greatest rooms.
What a dad. Thanks. Go get me a beer.
Well, it's funny, it's like, because, like, you know, I was like, Dad, you know, I'm thirsty. And he's like, well, let's go. And I was like, no, I can't, you know, I'm over here at wrestling with my dad. I'm like, I'm grown. I can go by myself. So he gives me a 10 spot. And when I was, like, almost down the aisle, he's like, mijo, tome un cerveza. And he gave me the beer signal, which is like your thumb up, your pinky down, and the rest of your hand closed. Basically, like Jimmy Snuka's sign. And it's funny because the first time I ever saw Jimmy Snuka do the super flat splash, he went up to the top rope and he did that, the sign, you know, with the fingers out, the thumb out, the pinky. And the only thing I could think of, I was like, Dad, Superfly wants the Coors Light.
Now, did you watch a lot of Southwest?
Yeah, I watched a lot of. I saw plenty of Gino and Telly, and
they were both awesome. But more people know about Telly, obviously, than Gino Hernandez. Gino Hernandez was fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, and then Wahoo, when he was already still old, but he was still like could really still kick ass.
Yeah.
And then the Sheepherders had a really bloody run here. And Manny Fernandez, Scott Casey, you know, Bobby Jackson.
Manny Fernandez was awesome. He was like,
yeah, he was awesome back then.
Nobody changed gears like Manny Fernandez. Like, Orndorff, I was watching an Orndorff match yesterday. Orndorff was awesome at it, but everything Fernandez did was fucking so explosive. There was a match, I think it was from Southwest, there was a match with him and Chavo Sr. from the early 80s. It was just awesome. It was just fucking awesome. I want to see more of that on TV nowadays.
Yeah, and then they had, like, Dick Slater had, like, a big run there. Like, it was, like, all the brawlers would, it was a place for all the brawlers to come and have, like, a good run. And it was, like, the most, it was, like, the ECW of the 80s. And everybody had, like, not out through the butcher bad, but everybody had, like, their foreheads were all just fucking fucked up. And, it was crazy. And they had, for a time, they had the world's ugliest head baby face in Mr. Piledriver, Bruiser Bob Sweetan.
I can't picture how he looked. I know the name, obviously, but... I'll have to Google him, Jim.
He's in jail now for, like, doing very bad things, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have him on the show.
Very close to what our that one guest we're talking about, too.
Yeah, that's figures. There we get all again. Don't do anything stupid, Antonio. We've got kind of a curse on fellas. Anyway.
Why? What has happened? I try not.
Oh, we had a rock and roll Buck Zumoff on the show. And,
Don't. Yeah, we don't need to get it. That's
just check IDs the next time you're in Vegas. Just, you know, just to be safe.
No, that's no.
But speaking of, I don't know, if I haven't texted the thing. Oh yeah, Couture. I watched some of that Georgia you put up, man. That shit was fucking awesome.
That was the first time I've really seen any Georgia, because, you know, that was before my time. I started watching 95 when they were already off the air. And that stuff is like, I got to see more of that stuff, because there's like always something going on. It's awesome. Plus, Sawyer and Tommy Rich, you got the Road Warriors, the first time they turned on Paul Ellering, that only read about in like the aftermags. Ed DiBiase and Mr. R, who was Tommy Rich under a mask. Mr. R turns out being Brad Armstrong, and he beats Ted DiBiase for the title. It's just some awesome stuff.
Was this on
YouTube,
or is this a...
Yeah, it's on my
YouTube
channel.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll think it's his YouTube channel.
Yeah, they have their own YouTube channel.
And today I watched the show where the Road Warriors turned on Ellering, and also where they had the big upset with Pistol Pez Watley beating Buck Sawyer, where the Junkyard Dog just showed up out of nowhere and slapped the shit out of Pistol Pez Watley to get him fired up, and then he beat the Mad Dog, and then the Mad Dog went crazy and demanded a rematch, and then he lost the rematch, and
wow.
That shit was just brought back so much memories, man. That shit was awesome.
I didn't start watching wrestling. I missed all that stuff because we didn't get TBS. We got WWF, we got NWA, but I didn't start watching really until 86. So, and we didn't get TBS until 89, and at that point it had already.
It was basically the NWA at that point.
But I never remember. I never paid. Usually it was Saturday night was the big show, like for me to watch. But I never watched the morning show. What was it, 9:05 or whatever? I never really watched that. I remember the first time seeing it was when Steamboat came back against Flair. Actually, it was 88. We got that.
Was that the Eddie Gilbert where he teamed with Eddie Gilbert?
Yes. And that's the earliest I can remember watching the morning show, but I was always watching it at night. I never knew the Georgia Championship even existed.
I'll send you the link to his YouTube page, and basically, it's more like just they broke it down and got most of the crazy interviews, and there's a few matches, but I mean,
yeah.
I forgot how awesome the Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer was. I mean, you'll see this and you'll be like,
I saw a few years back a match between him and Bret Hart from Georgia, probably 81 or 82. It was fucking awesome. It was very much like the, if you saw the Mid-South DVD, that DiBiase-Orndorff match, where it was all wrestling, but it was just run and gun, and it was physical, and it was, Buzz Sawyer was fucking awesome. I guess he was a dick in real life, but,
I mean, like, what was so weird about it is, like, for a couple of years, like, you know, everyone was Tommy Rich for a couple of years was the top baby face, and it's like, him and the Mad Dog were top babyface, top heel. It was like the top feud. It was like one of the greatest feuds of all time. And then the feud ended, and they were just never the same after that.
Yeah. I only remember Tommy Rich later on, like seeing him probably in AWA at first. And it's being like, why is there so much hype around this guy? He don't look like... You know, he didn't look like a comic book character, and being so young, you look for the larger-than-life images, and I didn't realize, oh, this guy's a great worker or anything. I was too young to see him in his prime, but even seeing the stuff then, it seems like you'd never, no matter how they repackaged him or, you know, sent him away and brought him back into, you know, NWA or whatever, he was just always kind of on that Brad Armstrong level of being a good, not good, great, you know.
What killed Tommy Rich is basically steroids killed Tommy Rich, because Tommy Rich was like a wrestling pretty boy, and then everybody got on the juice and got jacked, and he didn't. And I think that's kind of a big part of it, you know. Because he was all you didn't look like, you know, like a main eventer anymore.
I know. I mean, I know as a kid, like, you know, I wanted to see the Ultimate Warrior. I wanted to see Kerry Von Erich. you know, you want to see Sid. You want to see the Legion of Doom. And when Tommy Rich came out, he's a better worker, better wrestler than all of them. But there was nothing, you know, like I said, it wasn't that larger-than-life presence.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
The guys that I mean, I was the exact same way. I wanted to see these big jacked up guys, a barbarian and a warlord and stuff like that. But then when you get a little bit older and a little bit wiser, it's like the Barry Windhams and the and the guys that didn't look like much were the actual, you know, the Arn Andersons. You know, those guys are the guys that, you know, were the workers.
It's weird. I always loved, I mean, even as a kid, even 9, 10 years old, I always loved Steamboat. Like, Steamboat, Hogan was my 1A, and Steamboat
right.
was, like, my 1B. I loved Steamboat. And I it was weird because I, like, knew he was, like, a great wrestler because he did all this cool shit. And look at back, I mean, he really didn't, he didn't do any moves. He was just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, just, he was, I don't know, him, Arn and Tully and Flair, I love the Horsemen. And that's when I started to, like, root for the heels. And it was weird. I just knew they were good wrestlers. I knew Mr. Perfect
yeah.
was, you know, a great wrestler. Ted DiBiase, I loved them. I guess it was just, kind of the guy, like, the Four Horsemen, I wanted to be like them, you know, who didn't? So it was like, oh, my God, these guys are so cool. Yeah, I'm going to, you know, Tully and Arn don't look like the Road Warriors, but, you know, these guys are fucking devious, and they got the manager, and they got Flair, and, like, it's fucking awesome. I wish I could be like, you know, Shifty Shady. Underhanded heel.
Yeah, speaking of Arn, like on some of those YouTube clips from Georgia, he's actually like kind of like a jobber in some of the Road Warrior matches.
Really?
And this has been the Road Warrior.
Yeah, he had a different name. I don't know if it was his
Marty Lund.
Name.
He was going by
his real name is Marty Lund. Yeah, but was that his name that he went by in Georgia?
Yeah, he went by Arn Anderson, and there's like a match where he's wrestling the Road Warriors and a six man, and Oldie's doing commentary, and he's like, "Come on," you know, he's pulling for him. So
there was
before like
then. I mean, he teamed with in South Coast Wrestling. He teamed with
Jerry Stubbs.
Who was it?
Jerry Stubbs.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
He's our name.
Jerry Stubbs was Mr. He was Mr. Olympia as well, right?
Yeah.
Arn was great. I remember he used to talk to him a lot when I was in WWE, and he was, you know, aging a lot of our matches and whatnot. And, you know, I didn't even know he had all these. You tell me about different tag team partners he had before he even...
Did he ever bring up Joe Lightfoot?
No, he just said the first time he ever got fired from a promotion, it was because, I think he said it was because of something Ole did, and he got... he was, like, guilty by association. Nothing too in-depth, just picking his brain about different stuff when we'd be down by the ring, you know, or going through a match, so.
Cool. I wanted to ask you, it's not like she was there all the time, but, you know, they'd always bring in Moolah and Mae Young, and we all know that Mae Young, unfortunately, is very ill right now. Did you ever get to meet Mae Young at any of the shows?
Oh, yeah, anytime they would bring them in, we would always would. We actually, before Valentine's Day, we had actually went up to Vince McMahon himself, and we had this idea and this storyline all written out, you know, like 3-4 pages about doing on the Valentine's Day Raw, doing a thing where we go on a double date with Mae Young and Moolah. And like we waited for him in catering. We're like, we just need to go up to the man himself and You know, it was like, this is falling on deaf ears with other people. We just could go to him and himself. So we waited like 3 hours in catering. Finally went up to him, and I mean, we used to say hi's and hellos before, but this was, you know, we pulled him aside and asked for 5 minutes of his time, which, you know, the guy doesn't have 5 minutes for us two idiots, you know, but he did. He did. So, yeah, we pitched the idea to him, and he had this, like, bewildered look on his face, and he's like, he goes, well, that's a great idea, but I don't understand it. Lula's in a wheelchair right now. How would we do this? And then he, like, all of a sudden he gets this, like, huge grin on his face, and he's like, what would be better than having a date with two elderly women than having a date with two elderly crippled women? He goes, this is great. So show this to Stephanie. Show this. He gave us, like, three people he said to go show it to and whatnot. And after that, I mean, even we're doing, like, Sunday night heat matches, and he would come up to us and ask us, you know, how the match went, how did, you know. So it was like, people, he's a very, very intimidating person, but when you, once you, it's like a, you know, a gorgeous girl that you have a crush on, you're so intimidated by her, like in high school, but then once you finally ask her out, you know, if she doesn't reject you, you know, it's like, phew, you know, she's really cool and easy to talk to and whatnot, and that's the way he was. And it never came to fruition, but it would have been fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you know,
I think it would have been awesome.
Do you know if any of the upper management ever saw your guys' skits from the heartthrob skits from the mall and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think some of the writers did.
How they didn't just copy that, I never laughed.
I don't
so
know.
Hard watching wrestling.
I mean, you know, in OVW, I mean, we used to have a sellout at the monitor about for our matches and whatnot, and this was with, you know, guys like Kevin Thorne, Lance Cade, Matt Moore, like fucking men, you know what I mean? Guys who would kick our fucking asses, and they were laughing their asses off at our shit, and so it was like, I don't know. Yes and no. I don't think the people that mattered. You know, I don't know if Stephanie Watt was watching it. Vince probably wasn't. I mean, we did a dark match that got us noticed, and we were heels in that match, but quickly the fans really couldn't boo us, and I guess which means we're shitty heels. But the next day, we were told that you're going to get called up and you're going to be heels. And that was all based on that match. So I don't know what was watched, you know, of OVW back then. I think when Heyman took over, we were already gone by then, but I think when he took over, they watched, you know, either he got more people to watch it or more people started watching it, because a lot of guys from down there, their stuff would carry over. Kenny Anderson's stuff, you know, caught on down there. A lot of other guys. But with us, it was pretty much you got called up. The only act, I think, while we were in OVW, they got called up that didn't get changed was Eminem.
Well, they almost did, though.
What's that?
They almost did change him because didn't they want to put, they didn't, they wanted
they didn't want Joe, they didn't want Joey at first.
They didn't want Joey at first.
Yeah, I don't fucking know. But I think they wanted someone who was already under contract, and Joey was under contract for some stupid reason. You know, but obviously it worked out fine worked out great for them.
Right.
You know, but, like, it was such a disconnect back then. It's not like it was today. Like, Carlito, you know, Carly was doing nothing on TV, and then all of a sudden he got called up to shoot vignettes because someone had an idea for that character. You know, either he cut a promo and Vince came down or a writer came down, and that's usually how that stuff happens, how it did back then, so...
But
there'd be guys. There'd be guys that would be throwing stuff at the, trying new stuff all the time, and you know, I don't know. I can't answer that, but I just know it seemed like there was. It definitely seemed like there was disconnect and instead of taking guys for what we were, which is we were a comedy act and a we're cartoon characters. Instead of just going with that and giving us our, you know, we were made for Saturday Morning Slam, you know, letting us
Absolutely.
Do something like that and then letting us grow, you know, just not calling us up or calling us up and letting us, you know, grow in that little niche and then try to let us grow in the ring, you know, but it was just too much too soon and there was no connect whatsoever there.
Mm-hmm. Now going back to Mae Young and Moolah, what were they like? I mean,
they were just they're sweethearts. You know, just high hellos. You see them come in. You see them. You know, you'd be in catering, and then you'd see they'd always be attached at the hip. You know, not literally, but, you know, almost literally, but they would be, you know, always together. A lot of times Moolah was helping Mae, it seemed. But, yeah, they're just sweethearts.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Like, just a couple weeks ago, I watched Lipstick and Dynamite again, and... which is an awesome documentary movie. And
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay. There's also other places. You just go on Google and type it in, and you'll find a couple places that have it. But it's actually awesome. I mean, it's Moolah and Mae Young, and then it's also Penny Banner, Ellie Waldeck, Ida Martinez, and Gladys Killam-Gillum. And they're all just awesome. I mean, it's just an awesome fucking documentary. And sadly, Mae Young's the last one. And that's, you know, very soon, you know, they'll have all gone, which is kind of sad. But it's an awesome, awesome documentary.
Yeah, I got to have to check that out. I still got to finish watching Wrestle Kingdom. I've just been watching random stuff here and there, but finding a chunk to just devote 5 hours to has been kind of tough.
I haven't seen it at all yet, so hopefully I'll get to it pretty soon. But it's actually like, it's kind of like New Japan kind of hit a peak with the G1. I mean, it just I just haven't been as up for their shows as I was since the G1. It just, you know, the G1 was so awesome.
Kind of hard. You know what? It's kind of hard to like every just like pick a night from the G1. I mean, every night the matches went all out, and it's like it's very hard to top that. A billion false finishes and kickouts don't make a match, and that's certainly not what New Japan's mm-hmm. about, but it's very hard to top some of those matches that they, you know, they had in the G1, and it's like, yeah.
As often as it was, it's like it kind of burnt you out.
It's you're burnt out on excellent wrestling sometimes, you know, because it's I guess it's the old analogy of like having steak every night, you know, or having filet mignon every night. Eventually, you're going to – there's nothing wrong with it, but eventually you just need a little change. Or, yeah, and there's nothing wrong with – I mean, New Japan's fucking awesome. It's the best wrestling going today. I mean, there's a lot of good shit going on everywhere. I mean, WWE, ROH. You know, they set the bar so high and back in August that, and I haven't watched the last two matches yet, the Okada Naito match and then Tanahashi Nakamura.
Yeah.
You know, the Shibata Goto match was very good, but I think you were a little more invested. It wasn't just a match. I mean, you were invested into it because of the backstory of them growing up together and whatnot. But if it was just, you got to have an emotional investment there. And I think that's why, I don't know, maybe why Naito wasn't as over as they expected going into this show. So hopefully that'll change.
Yeah, I mean, he had some great matches in the G1. I thought it was really, I really thought it was a dumb move for them to ask to have that vote to see who got to be the main event, because it's like you got your two most popular guys, you know, who are the undercard that have the you know, like the Intercontinental title, like let's say, you know, while you have, you know, the Okada and Naito, the thing, and I thought, you know, to me, it's just, that did not seem very New Japan, like not having the world title be the main event. You know, you had the under title as the main event, and I just thought that was kind of a dumb move, because like, as soon as they announced it, it's like they're going to lose. It's Tanahashi and Nakamura are going to win this vote, and, you know, they kind of did.
Yeah, I mean, plus a five-hour show that, you know, that help burn anyone out. That's a long time. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like the heavyweight title, the number one championship. I think it should be, everything else should build up to that. And that's always been the way they are. So, you know, give it a try. See, there's no, I don't want to say there's not, it doesn't hurt to try, but, if you're ever going to try it, with two guys, I mean, those are the two guys to try it with. Because, I mean, those are the two most over guys in the company. So,
yeah. Cool. Well, Antonio, we got, they just announced the WWE Network. What do you think about the network, and are you going to be spending the $60 for it?
Yeah, absolutely. I already subscribed to Classics, so I mean, for $2 more a month, you know, I mean, $60. I mean, at the price of the Rumble or Mania. I don't. Is it Apple compatible? Can you get it on your iPhone or iPad?
You're supposed to get it on your iPhone and iPad. I don't know about the Apple TVs though.
Yeah, if you have any kind of laptop, it'll work.
Okay, so I can get it on my iPad, correct?
Yeah.
It sounds like it, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got the hookup and everything for my TV, but I got to hook my Roku up again because you can get it through Roku, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of a Roku, do you just buy this like a Roku box, or do you have to like subscribe to it too?
Nope, I've got one in
a little box.
It's just a little box. It's probably 4 inches wide, 4 inches the other way. You know, it's a square,
yeah.
And it just receives a Wi-Fi signal. And that one's good. I have that one, and I have an Apple TV as well, which is the exact same thing. But Apple TV actually hooks up to your iTunes and everything like that. So you can do everything the Roku can do, but they have a thing called Airstream. So if I'm watching something on my iPad or my Mac or even on my phone, if I'm hooked up to the same Wi-Fi signal, I can take whatever's on my phone or my iPad or whatever and forward it to my TV. So that's what Brian was talking about, Airstream. That's the only thing that you can do on an Apple product as of right now, besides...
Yeah, it runs like a triage where you can connect from your TV to your phone to your iPad.
Yes.
So that's what I was looking for, and I don't think it's hooked up to the Apple TV.
No, not yet.
No. But that'll change. It has to change. But yeah, of course I'll get it.
Why wouldn't you?
$10 a month. Yeah, exactly. Why wouldn't you? Every pay-per-view. I subscribe to NFL Red Zone just to get, which is like $8 a month, just to get NFL Red Zone during the football season, only during the football season, and it's worth it. So what do you guys think of it?
I'm going to save money by having another subscription. You know, I mean, between Brian and I, we have a kind of a deal where I'll buy a pay-per-view, he'll buy a pay-per-view. Of course, he kind of doesn't do it all the time, but that's another story for another time. But heck, for the price of two pay-per-views, I can get them all.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Not to mention I can get rid of all my DVDs now.
Yeah.
There's no reason to buy another WWE DVD.
Right.
That's insane. For $10 a month, that is insane.
And it's got all the, I don't know how much of the old footage and the territorial footage you'll have. But I'm guessing they're not going to give that away all at once. They'll probably put it on demand and like they do in the classics on demand, I would think. I got to be honest, I haven't watched many pay-per-views. I think I watched the pay-per-view in September, whatever that was, Night of Champions. But I don't.
That wasn't a good one.
Yeah, it wasn't good. it certainly wasn't worth $60. It was, you know,
right.
The Raws have been, when you get a good Raw, they've been much better than the pay-per-views. And, you know, obviously watch Rumble, Mania, Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, those are the ones. So, I mean, those four there, I mean, that's $200, $250 itself. So,
I actually have a question for Katrer, if he's still on the line. I haven't been pretty quiet. Hey, what are you looking forward to most on that? You're the wrestling dictionary of the show.
Actually, I thought they had a little graphic. They had like a video vault, which I think is like all the old stuff that they're gonna put up. And I know I saw like a World Class logo in there. You know where you can pick and choose what you want to see, but I don't know. I really would like to see a lot of that old Mid-South stuff, just like week-to-week shows, stuff like that. And
do you know if WWE owns the Calgary Library?
I think they do.
Stampede?
Yeah, it's on Classics, yeah.
That's interesting.
I wouldn't mind going back and watching some of those old, like, MSG house shows. I always like sitting down and watching those.
Did
you say I don't think you'd want to?
No, I don't think they're going to be on it right at first. The MSG shows, I don't think they're going to be on right away.
Yeah, all the older stuff, I think they're going to either cycle it or rotate it or put it slowly.
Sure.
You know.
Well, I think there's
no reason to
already they've been using it for the classics on demand, so. You know, maybe just stuff they could already have up there.
Yeah.
They were doing that ECW stuff from the beginning. They got all the ECW shows, so.
That's awesome. Now I'm kicking myself.
The music won't be on there, but, you know, that's not
right.
So.
Man, do you know how hard it was for me to get ECW up here in Washington State? Man, I had to do tape trading, and I bought almost every single one of the commercial tapes when they came out, at $60 a pop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I was crapping on eggs and at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I didn't get it where I lived. I just read this. The first ECW I saw was the first pay-per-view in 97.
Right. The first time I saw ECW was when they showed up on Raw, basically.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I used to read about them in the magazines all the time and then hear about them on the, you know, the
mm-hmm.
internet, you know, my friends would all talk about it, but it just seemed like it was just a cooler alternative to, you know, the rated G garbage that kind of was prevalent at the time.
Yeah.
Once I saw it, I thought the hype was more than the reality of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because I didn't see it till, maybe because I missed the early infancy of it and whatnot, you know, but it was definitely, when I first saw the TV shows, it was like I was expecting all wrestling, but it was more of a infomercial kind of to me. For the live events and to order the pay-per-views, so.
When I first heard about ECW, Brian Alvarez used to speak into his phone recorder, his answering machine, and you could call his answering machine and listen to his wrestling update.
Wow.
Yeah. So I called Brian's
house and
listened to his machine. And then I met him in a Mendy show.
Unlike that one guy who like bankrupted him or something.
I don't remember that story, but we can talk about that later. Because I do remember. I think they were probably about 4 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes, and he was talking about this this show that this guy Dave DiBiase was promoting at one of the Air Force bases, and he was going to ref. And so that's how I met Brian. I actually went to the show, and I thought it hysterical because he was refereeing a Buddy Rose match. And the heel and Brian got into it, and Buddy was, like, watching Brian Alvarez and the heel, you know, bicker back and forth. So Buddy took the shirt off of Brian and put it around his neck like he was going to ref the match between Brian and the heel. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I died. And then I talked to Brian after that and invited him over for a pay-per-view, and that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Such a story.
Yeah, I know.
It's got Buddy Rose in it. It's great.
Yeah. I got another Buddy Rose story. I had met Buddy a few times, but Richie Magnet and Buddy Wayne and Brian, myself, and Vince. I'm sure you heard the Straight Eye for the Queer Guy story where we took Vince and got him clothes so he could hit on this girl. Antonio?
I don't think I'll like this story.
Okay, well, I'll tell that some other time because we're running out of time. But I went to this Richie Magnet bought a Harley, and he had a party to show off his Harley. So I go to the party, and Colonel DeBeers is there, and Buddy Wayne's there, and so we're kind of, I'm like, holy crap, that's Buddy Rose. And Buddy was like, I shook his hand, and he goes, "Are you a wrestler, kid?" I said, "Well, I used to be, but I got hurt." He said, "What happened to you?" And I told him the story about how I had, you know, 1,700 pounds of lumber fall on me and blah, 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 blah. And so he was like, "Oh, my God." And he was just – anyway, he gets me over into a corner, and he goes, "Hey, kid, you got any Vicodin?" And I said, no. He goes, "You're not on any kind of painkillers at all?" And I said, "No, sir." And he goes, "Do you need any?" And I'm like, no, I'm good, buddy. And he goes, "Okay, I don't like to see anybody in pain, all right? So you just let me know, kid." I'm like, "All right, buddy, thank you."
Well, I hope you remember that advice
or, you know, that, that offering when I see you at WrestleMania. And
I'm
happy to get it off the hands. Speaking of Mania, any chance you're going to make an appearance in New Orleans?
No. No, there won't
be. Oh, come on.
Unless, well, not on my own, unless I was with...
Booked?
You know, booked to wrestle down there, yeah.
You should just come to the places that we're going to go have meetups and eat in New Orleans, because
someone wants to fund my flight and accommodations. If there's a sugar mama out there that would like to take care of that, I'm down for that. But
and then, we need to talk Brian and Dave into getting a booth at the WrestleCon, and then they could have you come in and sign autographs.
That booth would be nobody there.
I think if
How
Dave
about,
was at the booth, if Dave,
Dave
would be,
was at the booth. Oh my God, yeah, even Brian.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Oh, no one cares about Brian. Come on.
Would you consider being a valet for one of the Shimmer girls?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you know,
Dave
Prazak,
did you hear
that? Dave Prazak listens to the show, so maybe he can hook you up. And
there you go.
Maybe you can
valet
my girl on Leva Bates, and you can come out in a costume also.
I want 10%.
Which girl?
Leva Bates.
Oh, Leva Bates? Okay, yeah, I've heard of her.
Yeah, so you can come out as Supergirl and you can be Superman.
There you go.
I'll do that. Hey, yeah, I'm down. Dude, I wore a boa and got pinned by a midget and humped by a 500-pound black man on national TV. I have no problem dressing up as Superman in front of, you know, 500 people.
I actually kind of trying to get, I don't know if they're still available, but I'm looking at trying to get like front row or second row for that Shimmer show at WrestleMania.
Well,
you're a big Shimmer fan?
I went to the first show. I went to the one last year at Mania, and I just loved it. I've been watching the Shine show, pay-per-views, and they got a lot of talent, actually. I mean, they're actually pretty good. I mean, I really, really enjoyed that Shimmer show last year.
Yeah, it's amazing why, WWF has some good female talent in NXT. But,
I like that.
You wonder why they don't just, you know, I'm not going to say like buy Shimmer or anything, but like just get a whole lot of them, you know, just, you know, sign like 10 or 15 of them. And
yeah, there's a lot of them that could be there. I mean,
yeah, but
she's hot.
Yeah, there's a lot of them are.
What did you say?
Cheerleader Melissa. Cheerleader Melissa.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
she's
gorgeous,
and she works.
Have you ever worked any shows or worked on any shows where Mia Yam's been on?
A couple of ROH shows when she was on.
She's gotten so much. She is awesome, man. I think she'd be perfect for the Fed right now. You know,
she spent a lot of time in Japan. I think the last year or so, year and a half. I know she was going there. I can't remember the name of the promotion over there.
Speaking of Japan, they have some awesome girls. I mean, they're not as good as the, you know, Minami Toyotas and Asia Khans, but they got like
some of the YouTube channels have some recent women stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's like some, you know, it's not like you said, like all Japan girls, but there's like some like Jumping Bomb Angel shit in there. it's pretty good, you know.
Yeah,
it's different. It's a nice. It's a change of pace, you know.
That Kenna or Kana, she's fucking unbelievable.
I know the name. I haven't seen her.
Yeah. I mean, there's some great talent, but we're pretty much about to run out of our life feeds. Let me drop the plug here real quick. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. You can download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrer.
and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo and or Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And I'll leave my plug for Antonio. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at Promise Thomas, and check out Antonio, the Promise Thomas, on his Twitter. And I'm pretty sure he's got a fan page on Facebook or a Facebook page, one or the other. And keep up with Antonio and his going.
Facebook.
There you go. So keep up with him. He's a great friend of the show, even though he cheats from time to time. But anyway, Antonio, great guy.
Yeah, and thanks for getting me bumped off the Christmas show, Antonio. I totally blame you for that.
What's that?
Getting me bumped off the Christmas show.
Hey, man, I just answered the phone. That's all I did, man.
Right.
I was trying to kill Vinny, I guess, begging him on. But
that was actually pretty
that
funny.
Was phenomenal. I hope he dies.
That was actually one of the funniest lines on the whole show.
It was funny.
But Antonio, you've been on. I was actually only planning on trying to keep you on for an hour, and the next thing I knew it was an hour and a half. So we really appreciate you spending the whole night with us, and hopefully we'll have you on soon again.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Heart Bob's
so
forever.
All right, guys.
See you, brother.
So before we wrap up, Craig, did you have any last things you want to talk about?
No, we kind of covered, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the network, and we kind of talked about that, and kind of news of the week. I think we pretty much covered everything wrestling news-wise. I mean, do you want to talk about the guests we're going to have on at the end of the month? Or you want to keep that under wraps?
No, I'll go ahead and put him on. He sounds like he's going to do it for sure, so I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
But at I guess it's the 31st, but the last Friday of the month, we are scheduled to have Rudy Boy Gonzalez. And for those not familiar with Rudy Boy Gonzalez, he's a really good journeyman wrestler, kind of like in the style of a Dusty Wolf, George South. And he was the head trainer at the Shawn Michaels Wrestling Academy, which means he pretty much trained or started the training of Bryan Danielson, Spanky, Paul London, Matt Bentley, Lance Cave, a bunch of other guys. I think the last time he was on national TV, JBL was throwing him in the river. And he's very opinionated. He's like the Mexican version of Brutal Bob Evans. If you're following Brutal Bob on Twitter, and he gets on his rant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's exactly like that. I mean, he's really very outspoken about, like, what he thinks of indie wrestlers or, like, what he does not feel that is, like, what a wrestler should do or act, you know. So it should be a good interview.
I would compare him more to Rip Rogers, actually. I mean, Rip, if you're not following Rip Rogers on Twitter, you're doing it wrong. Go follow Hustler. 2754 Hustler 2754. This guy has dropped knowledge, and he does it daily. Rip Rogers, and also I just started following stuff Ricky Morton says. You got to follow that too. It's great.
Anyway. Did you have anything you wanted to talk about before we go?
No, I just go to youtube.com/Contreras. A bunch of that Georgia stuff that Dale was talking about is up there. I get a while it's there because when the network starts up, all this stuff is going to be disappearing probably from YouTube a lot, so they're probably going to crack down.
That's very true. I didn't even think about that.
Contreras, can I ask you a question? Are you on like a, do you have a headset on, or do you just have a phone to your like ear?
I got a headset on.
Okay. You haven't sounded too good the last 2 weeks, bro. I mean, I'm not
sick.
Trying to be a dig. I'm mostly being serious. But, yeah, you haven't sounded too good. You might want to look into your headset.
You listen to it wrong.
I guess. But everybody come back next week. We'll have either a guest or something to talk about next week. So everybody come
I'm just gonna...
back.
Next week, I'm just going to read Ricky Morton, at Ricky Morton Says stuff. That's all I'm going to do next week. And it's, you've got to, you, are you guys following Ricky Morton Says?
I guess I'm going to have to start.
Is he down or something? Or does he really say stuff?
It's be him. Might not be him, but it's amazing. Here's one of my favorite posts. Practice. You don't practice wrestling. You practice the effing trombone. Call it in the ring, Bubba.
Did he say rock and roll was here to stay?
Here's another one. Kevin Nash loves to donate to charity. If by quote-unquote donate, you mean quote-unquote tear, and by charity, you mean quote-unquote his effing quads.
Mm.
Okay, this is falling a little bit flat.
Kevin Nash quad joke in 2014.
Okay. Well, Craig does have like a weird sense of humor because, you know, he does those horrible jokes on Facebook all the time.
Absolutely. So. And they're funny to some people. Ed just doesn't get jokes. So,
I get comedy. I just don't get bad comedy.
Okay. Did you guys hear about the? There is a show/legends gathering in Louisiana during Mania, and it's going to be the Mid South stuff. Did you guys hear about all that?
Yeah.
They added Dark Journey to the list of people on there. So,
the Dark Journey. That's where I haven't found anything on the internet about it. Do they have a site? Do you know?
They do actually, because I looked at it when like they first announced it, and I don't remember what the site was called. Maybe somebody listening can let us know. But I did see it, and then. They have the Rock and Roll Express and a bunch of other people.
Right.
It's kind of like a, you know, convention, and then they're going to have a show. I kind of got to check into it because I think the convention starts early, which we might be able to do. But, we are having, because ROH always has to have their shows way the fuck away from everything else, it seems like. You know, we have to have dinner at 4:00. So I'm very excited about what we're having dinner. I got to say, Rodney did a good job at finding this place. I'm going to spend.
I think the Mid-South thing is like in one of the the little small towns, like right outside New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
ROH was kind of out of the way. But that restaurant we're going to, I can guarantee you, just right off the bat, I'm going to spend about $50 on food. Because I checked out that menu and I'm going to eat.
You need to go get some coffee.
That's part of the plan.
Remember the
I got to get like a platter that's got like a little bit of everything. Then I got to get like a bowl of gumbo. And then I got to get like a bowl of etouffee. And then,
the best places to eat in the South are the ones that look the shittiest.
That
I don't know if anybody ever knows that.
That makes total sense, actually.
We go eat crawfish, like on a weekend or something. We go to one of these little places. It looks almost like a shed or something. You go in there, and all they got is they got 3 Rubbermaid garbage cans full of crawfish, corn, and potatoes.
Yeah.
And you just get like one of those cardboard gimmicks you like see at Costco when you buy all the drinks for a low price.
Yep.
You can just go back as much as you want and just get the big scoopers. And just get as much as you want and just sit down there and pick out. Awesome.
One of the best barbecue joints I ever went to was at a truck stop in Texas. So there you go. There you go.
At a truck stop, was it Rudy's?
That sounds familiar.
Rudy's the worst barbecue in Texas, is what it's called. Do they have that up there in Dallas, Kitcher?
What's that?
Rudy's?
I don't know. How many places up here I haven't found all of them yet.
Yeah, well, that's a great place to get barbecue if you come to Texas. Is Rudy's Barbecue, the worst barbecue in Texas.
Well, I got the best barbecue I ever had in my life.
They should call it the worst barbecue. But
anyway.
Well, hey, for a long time we could promote our show as the worst show on the internet.
True. True. And we do our best to live up to that every week.
Well, maybe you guys. I'm actually good at this.
And I just watched a Superman punch Craig.
Isn't that ridiculous? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, while Ed was talking to Antonio, I was surfing Facebook, and I found this. If you go to, what's the name of the site again? Crazy Fights. If you do a search on Facebook of Crazy Fights, there's, it's like a 10-second clip, and it's obviously a cafeteria in a high school or something. And the line on the video says, "Flying haymaker punch, unknown school cafeteria." And this this kid leaps on top of the table, the cafeteria table, and flies like a good 7-8 feet and hits this kid with a Superman punch and knocks him the heck out. It's a phenomenal video.
It looks like with that gimmick AJ Styles does and he springboards in off the ropes.
Yeah.
It's a big forearm.
Crazy Fights on Facebook. It's hours of entertainment. So there you go.
So, well, we'll go ahead and I guess
I'm watching Lost and they're about to move the island. I'll see where it goes.
Wait, what?
I'm watching Lost, and they're about to move the island, and I got to see where it goes.
The island? Mm. What are you talking about?
On Lost.
On what?
On Lost. L-O-S-T.
Oh. Lost stuff. Anyway, we'll end the show, because you're always got to end the show on a horrible note. So everybody come back next week.
Go see ya.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit! Let's go hook him up! I just whipped your ass. You take it all away. I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.